This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roseau County Historical Society. At the Roseau County Museum, we have for sale a little book by Ray Geroy called Sandridge Settlers, written about 1980 and reprinted in 2018. In the prologue to the book, he describes the Sandridge of his book as beginning very nearly at a cemetery called Pine Grove, somewhat near the southeast corner of Roseau County. Here the land becomes pure sand and the lowly jackpine tree begins to flourish in its natural habitat. Less than 1/2 mile to the north or east runs the east branch of winding, spring-fed Roseau River. Townships involved are Beaver, Riney, Elkwood, and an unorganized one north of Elkwood. Mention is made of people in other parts of Roseau County, including Roseau. In a letter to Jenny Geroy about 1920, one of her school chums from Warroad tells how they had, quote, gone to the Sandridge, quote, over the weekend. Mr. Geroy remembered well that this land was always called by that name throughout the ensuing years. Roughly speaking, the time of the Sandridge story runs from 1900 to 1935. The dawn of the 20th century saw a tiny trickle of immigrants into this land. It was largely uninhabited, with only little sign of the Indian trapper and voyageur and their earlier pursuits. But they were gone, and there was no answer to their disappearance. Possibly fires had driven them out. The first settlers' glimpse of this promised land must have been a depressing one, for it was mostly brush and woods. Forest fires had depleted much of this land in 1910, but the pine was set to come back, and it did. The east branch of the Roseau River lured many pioneers to its beautiful banks. Here were fish and fur-bearing animals of all kinds. Here the deer and other game came to drink of the river's spring-fed waters. The people who had the foresight to settle along the river's narrow valley did the best, for here was moisture and better water and drainage. Other people took homesteads near swamps and on ridges away from the river. Theirs was a harder lot, for they had poorer land which never became good farms. Mainly, the land was good for raising cattle. Only some of the immigrants brought horses, cattle, and sheep. They made the best living. They also worked the hardest, for the cattle not only had to be fed and housed, they had to be protected from the wolves, which were always hungry and vicious. Corrals had to be built for keeping them out. Besides the farmers, the land lured hunters and trappers by the score. Many of them became farmers later. Post offices, schools, and stores sprang up here and there depending on the need for them. There was much moving about of these establishments due to the shifts in population, especially the schools. Often one family moving into a locality was reason enough to move the school a short ways. Post offices and stores did the same. Sawmills started up where there was timber and shut down when it was depleted. Farms did not seem to change hands much, but a few people did move away after selling out. As near as can be ascertained, Arthur and Nina Clark were the first settlers into the new land of the Sandridge. No one lived there when they came. The land was silent and still. Pine trees flourished on the pure sand, and the river was just over the hill. It was beautiful, but the land was not productive. If they could open up some fields and get a few cows, a living could be eked out. This they proceeded to do. The year was 1901, and Nina's sister was also destined to come later. She became Mrs. Albert Hayes, and they lived just to the west. Arthur Clark was not a gunman, as were most of the others who came later. He did not care to admit this fact. Albert Hayes and Frank Truck caught him one day trying to figure out the intricacies of a gun. When they asked him if he knew how to handle a gun, he said yes. But a short while later, the weapon went off, and Arthur was chagrined. The Clarks owned a huge red and white bull, and the Trucks had a horse called Lady. One day, Mr. Clark hitched the two together in an attempt to have a working combination. It backfired. After he finally got them going, he found out that there was no way to stop them except to turn them directly into some trees. This he did, and all turned out well. Dorothy Track tells of the time that a Clark child fell and almost bit off his tongue. The family stayed up all night to pack the wound with flour. This near catastrophe was abated. Mr. Clark was a school teacher. His only son, Lawrence, had a son later named Lester. Lester, at the time the book was written, lived in Winnipeg, Canada, and he came quite often to the old homestead for a visit with the Hayes family. The trying life of the early settler evidently palled on the Clarks, and in 1911 they left the Sandridge for Canada. Nina's sister, Bessie, stayed on for good. There are a lot of interesting stories told in that book. I recommend you go to the museum and have a look at it. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.